The Mysterious Old Radio Listening Society, live from the Bryant Lake Bowl.
Good evening, creeps. Please welcome to the stage your mysterious hosts, Eric, Tim, Joshua, and special ghoulish guest star, Shannon Custer.
Look out!
Welcome, welcome to the Mysterious Old Radio Listening Society, a podcast dedicated to suspense, crime, and horror stories from the golden age of radio. I'm Shannon.
I'm Tim.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Joshua.
And tonight we're going to do something a little different. So instead of listening to an old-time radio story and deciding if it stands the test of time, I'm going to be interviewing the Mysterious Old hosts and see if they stand the test of time. I have some questions here from Patreon supporters, as well as from some from our live audience here at the Bryant Lake Bowl in Minneapolis. So how does that sound, everybody? Oh, gosh. This is fantastic. Okay. I want to start with a question that we actually get every time we do a live show. So I thought this might be a good icebreaker one. How did the three of you get together? Because I love a good origin story. So tell us, how did it happen?
Well, I washed up on an island.
I hunted him down. Tim was a Nazi dog.
Yeah. And then we all shared a bed at the end.
And that's always how we answer, too. So that.
Yes. Please refer to last episodes for all those inside jokes. Tim and Joshua met a long time ago doing
comedy theater.
Yes. Yep. Back in 1997, I think, I and a business partner opened up the Fool's Tree Theater, which did not last long. But during that time, we were looking for like comedy acts to come be part of our comedy theater and met Joshua, who was a comedy act with other folks, including your brother.
And then you guys met Shannon.
I met Shannon at the Brave New Workshop.
About 20 minutes ago. Yeah, no, we did. Forever ago, my goodness.
And for listeners who aren't in the Twin Cities, the Brave New Workshop is a comedy institution here in the Twin Cities, a sketch comedy review theater.
Improv club.
I mean, the show, I mean, we did Dead Man Running. You know, that whole Bush Carey thing. What else? We made it through a lot of things.
Faith No More? No, Faith the Final Frontier.
Faith the Final, Faith No More. Is that
a band.
Actual band? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And you wrote, I'm going to get in trouble again, but you wrote a sketch about Scientology and we got letters.
Yes. Yes, we did.
Yeah, they are organized.
And big fans of comedy.
The fans of comedy and organized. So, yeah.
And then here, I'll tell it. I'm going to tell it. So I did a show right on this stage called Love, Laundry, and Theoretical Physics.
No, you're going to tell that?
I'm going to tell it. They were in rehearsal for a show that was coming soon after that, London After Midnight.
Correct.
So Shannon came and saw, Shannon came and saw my show, and we didn't know each other. That show, at one point, I end up completely naked on stage. Here, like this.
That's a lie. That's a lie.
So, as Joshua likes to tell it, Shannon came back from seeing that show and said, I found someone I want to cast.
This makes sense. This is how you wanted the most dangerous game to go. Like, I'm in the water. Now I'm here. You know, no, it was not that jump of the timeline. Let's.
But anyway,
he's really funny.
Shannon ended up casting me in London After Midnight with as Varney the Vampire with Joshua and Tim, who were already in it. And so the first time we met and all of us performed together was right here on this stage doing that show.
That is true, yeah.
And that was 300 years ago.
Yes.
Oh, long time.
And then we've done a lot of shows together since then. We produce a lot of our own work. We've hired each other, collaborated, written a lot of stuff together. We've just been friends and doing things. And then, I don't know, 8 years ago, one of you two came to me and said, we have an idea for a podcast. We all like old-time radio and do podcasts. And I said, sure, not knowing that it would last.
Yeah, it took a long time to convince you people to listen to it.
Yeah. I didn't listen to the first year. I didn't. I'm like, no one's listening to this. And then Tim came one day and gave me a check. And I'm like, what's this for? Well, we have listeners. What? People are listening? So, yeah, that's the really short version of it. But
that's pretty good. That is actually more involved than we usually get. When you're not listening to old-time radio, which is pretty much all the time, but what do you listen to? This one's fun.
My wife.
Yes.
Because she's super smart and fun, and I miss her a lot.
Yeah.
And then also audiobooks.
Okay, audiobooks.
But my wife reads them all. It's not weird or anything, right?
I listen primarily to classical music or, not kidding, elevator music. Literal,
that is true.
Like Mantovani Strings and the 101 Strings Orchestra, Burt Camfort, like stuff that it would be playing in Kmart in 1970s.
You're just like, why do I want to buy a sweater?
I love it so much. And it's because music like that is just back here somewhere, not forcing you to listen to it. So I like background music a lot. I know.
I listen to a lot of mashups, which is like, really out of date now, but so am I.
I loved that, actually.
What's a mashup?
Oh, boy, let's have another pod. It's DJs will take this song and this other song and like strip the melody out of one and put it to the rhythm of the other, loosely. And then it's a whole new song. It sounds oftentimes like, that sounds like a real song.
Huh.
I can send you like thousands of them if you want.
Nope.
Or like, then like sometimes political podcasts or legal podcasts. Because I'm on the bus a lot.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah, you are.
Wow. I talk about this, the worse I feel about myself.
No, I know. It's okay. You're doing great. Lightning round. Here we go. Get ready. I know it's the third one. We're out of the gate. Suspense or escape?
Escape.
Suspense. There's just more of them.
Yeah, I'm on escape as well.
Oh, Cooper or Obler?
Cooper.
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 That's unfair to Obler, but Cooper.
Mysterious Traveler or The Whistler?
Oh,
Mysterious Traveler.
Turning the radio off. They're both such hit and miss programs. There are a few that are good, but they're not the best. But I would have to say that I like the Mysterious Traveler host.
So you could have just said Mysterious Traveler.
You're right.
Lightning round, Eric.
I was working my way through it, man.
And this is my favorite one. Here we go. Agnes Moorhead or Mercedes McCambridge?
Mercedes McCambridge.
Jeanette Nolan.
My wife.
So we do have something really special. Sometimes when you reach out to the audience, you find out amazing things. Today is Beatrix's birthday.
Yeah.
Hey. Happy birthday.
And I don't know if you wanted this to happen, but it's happening. And she's 14 years old. Oh. So I thought maybe we should sing happy birthday.
Let's
here we go.
Do it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Ba-ba-ba-boom.
Happy birthday, dear Beatrix. Happy birthday to you.
Beatrice,
looks so properly mortified.
I begged my parents my entire life, please don't tell the waiters that it is my birthday. I can't stand it when they come and sing happy birthday to me. And you know what happened every year? My waiters would come over and sing happy birthday to me. I know your pain. I don't know why I'm inflicting it back on you.
But you are out of grilled cheese.
You know that, right?
Did you know that you can get a free grilled cheese tonight?
On your birthday, Brian Lake Bowl, free grilled cheese.
Get it to go. Yeah. I mean, it heats up.
Just all right. Grab it.
This is the question, though, from an audience here. If this were a trucker's mysterious old CB radio show, what would each of your handles be? That's a great question.
Rubber duck. Because it's the only handle I know. It's from a song.
I feel like we've said this before because I think I was given the name Bookmobile.
Oh, that's good.
Because I'm going with
now,
that.
That's when you were getting beat up in sixth grade.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry to break your glasses, Bookmobile.
A story that I have never told anyone before in my life.
Oh, here we go. Wow. Now, let's take a second. You're sure?
I know.
Okay.
My grandfather from Oklahoma. Wild man, troublemaker, was literally shot by his wife. I mean, they still got married. They still remained married in like Oklahoma. But when I was real little, we went to visit my grandparents in Oklahoma, and I didn't really understand at the time because I was so little. But he was going, like his health was not in good shape, and so. He was spending some time with each family member, and he spent some time with me alone, and he played for me. I don't know. Does anybody know Red Sovine? Sentimental trucker music. Like, just syrupy. So sweet. Check it out if you want to know what I'm talking about. But there's a song in there about this trucker who's talking to this little kid on the CB called Teddy Bear. And I knew nothing. I'm like, okay, thanks, Grandpa, and I'm out. Like, 15 years later, I'm at college, like, oh my God, I get it now. So the short answer is Teddy Bear because of my grandfather.
Wow.
Such a better answer.
That's why I went last.
I want to tell you guys a story that I've never told anyone. My grandpa killed his grandpa.
All right, so is there a lesser-known series, now some of our Patreons may know this already, but that each of you would like to be able to get people to listen to if you were like, I know, you probably haven't heard of this one, but listen.
Oh, if only we had a podcast to present lesser-known old-time radio shows to people.
I know, but which one
Crime Classics, I think, is my favorite obscure old-time radio show that more people should know. It is just an amazing, prescient old-time radio show because it's dramatized true crime from the 1950s, I believe. But it's done with this sort of quirky, dark sense of humor, and it's all based on factual cases that they are a little bit loose with and have some fun, both structurally and performance-wise. It's a great series.
If someone, if I found out they'd never listened to I Love a Mystery, I would say I Love a Mystery. It's not lesser known, but that is the pinnacle for me for a number of reasons. It was my introduction. But past that, I would say A Man Called X is a show that I just recently discovered that is just wonderfully not deep. It's just really good. They get to the castle. They would not have spent 15 minutes talking about. He would have just started shooting at him and he ran in the jungle.
Mine would be Murder by Experts. High pedigree creative team that made it, and it's I think falls into the category of lesser known. Its shtick is, although this isn't exactly really what it was, that a notable mystery writer would choose some other mystery writer and adapt their work, something like that. There's a lot of cross-promotion happening in this, but it's David Kogan and Arthur, I can't remember their names properly, but I love
them. Mysterious Traveler guys.
Mysterious right? Traveler guys, who we all love equally. So yeah, Murder by Experts.
You did really well. That was very well done. I didn't know most of those. I did know the I Love a Mystery because I'm married to you. All right. So my big question now is your favorite film of 2024 so far? I knew this would make Eric so panic.
Why is this so traumatic for
you? I knew this question was coming, and I'm like Googling like what movies have come out. In the,
I know, isn't it?
Because I'm still watching stuff from the 40s.
Yeah.
That's fine, too. If you're, I thought you'd be like, what year did Casablanca come out?
Right. I will tell you, the movie I watched this year that I was most excited to watch again, which it didn't come out this year, was Ready or Not.
I guess it's not really a movie, but the only current thing that I've watched was that BBC The Gentleman. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I thought that was fantastic. So that's my answer because I didn't. I watched King Kong versus Godzilla, and I still have a lump from putting my head through the wall. But oh, I got it. Oh, I know. Godzilla minus one. That was phenomenal. That was it. Godzilla minus one.
I watched that too.
Or X minus, what was it called?
Godzilla X minus one. Yeah. That's a radio show I want to listen
to. Yeah, right.
How about you, Josh? What do you? What?
The Wildcat. It's a, biopic about Flannery O'Connor. And there's the fight sequences are amazing.
I'm in.
But seriously, if you like Flannery O'Connor, see the movie.
Yeah, yeah. She made me like short stories again.
After reading The Most Dangerous Game,
The Awakening and the one about the wallpaper. Oh. My God. I mean, it was just...
Flannery's not that much more.
No,
uplifting.
I know, but I like... Yeah, okay. Who's the best shadow?
Ooh.
That's one of our audience questions. I thought that
Alec Baldwin.
First of all, funny. Second of all, I like that movie.
Me too.
Orson Welles, for sure, by a landslide.
Yeah, I'm going to say Orson Welles is my favorite.
Yeah, that part of that is those episodes are the better Shadow episodes to me.
Me too.
I thought there would be some tension, and we'd
That's pretty easy.
It's a little bit like, I don't want to throw shade on these other Shadows, but...
No, they were great.
Thank you.
Yeah. I want to take us into some of the live shows because someone asked, I thought this was a great question. What's the hardest sound effect and most challenging sound effect to recreate on stage live in front of people?
Yeah.
My vote is for water.
Water.
Yeah, water is
sounds
a nightmare.
And glass breaking because
you need water and broken glass on stage. With electrical equipment.
And a stage. It's really hard to recreate broken glass. We have ceramics now in a metal tin. Gets us pretty close to broken glass. But water.
You need the sound of somebody jumping off a boat into the ocean.
Yeah, that's
a big splash. You can't have like a bowl of water and it's bloop.
Yeah.
Or a kiddie pool with a, We did last couple weeks ago, we had a show where something was dripping in a cavernous cell. And we came up with
everyone is just blown away.
They're amazed.
But I'm just saying, it took us years to figure that out because we had like turkey basters on trying to make this dripping sound. But that's water sucks.
We had a show. One of our most ambitious sound effects was to get a motorcycle sort of sound. We had a bike with a card in the spokes, like just
upside down bike. You know, you made that sound when a
kid's bike.
But that was a lot of work to haul around, and we just went. So much easier.
I'm a car.
It's also funny when, like, okay, so we need a dog sound. Let's everybody. Okay, let's bark for a while and figure out who's got the best dog.
That is a backstage fact.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
Well, or monster sounds. Like, we don't know. We know it's a monster, and, it's wide open to how the monster sounds, and we'll all do our interpretation.
It is.
Until someone goes, I like that.
It's terrible.
I like yours.
Hey!
In all seriousness, that is one of the most challenging sounds. Like, if we're reproducing a radio drama that has some eerie voice in the background or cry in the night, that's terrifying in radio. When you can see the person making it, it becomes funny. So we tried it a little bit for some shows where we actually had the kind of
I turn around when I scream
where we were just like
I turn my back I turn my back to the audience when I scream because otherwise it's hilarious. It's like, what is she doing? You know? Yeah, yeah. I'm just laughing because that's our craft.
Right.
Is we sit around a table and we're like, how about this?
Yeah.
And then we all nod. I don't know, man. That's.
I just love that we actually think people can't see us if we turn around.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh yes, but water sucks. Okay. I have a couple more that I think are just real inside. Can I say inside baseball on a radio podcast? Okay.
Sure.
All right. What wedding gift should you get Mr. Host and marry the Lipton Tea Lady?
What wedding gift?
A counseling. Wedding gift.
Counseling. Yep.
I don't know. Blender? I don't know.
I think it would be something very ghoulish, that like his and her coffins.
Aww.
You know, but like the fancy kind with a bell in case you're buried alive, you know. Just get all of it for him.
Oh,
if you don't
God.
Know about that, they used to bury people with bells just in case, and it actually came in handy more than once.
Yeah.
So they ring the bell. Oh, that's, you're not dead.
That's rough.
Oh, Grandpa was a sound sleeper.
Yeah.
Those are great. All right. And then one other question that I thought was very interesting, thinking about old-time radio now. How does it stand up against the content and production values of today's BBC radio and drama podcast?
Ooh.
And then you all have to speak in British accents.
It's close to an apples and oranges question, but because of technology.
Sure. Yeah.
It sounds so much better, and our production values, right, and anything more contemporary. But I will say that people will try to write radio drama or audio drama and not understand it at all and fail miserably at not only performance and direction, but just script writing of it, like how to create these things in people's heads and how to – that is an art that people think is easier than it's given credit for. But production-wise, things can sound amazing in today's world. But I like it scratchy, tinny, and a lot of tenor because I think it sounds better. It sounds – so I don't know.
There is a thing, too, of audio drama currently is often produced with a lot of pre-recorded sound effects and frequently a lot of them to create a very full audio experience as opposed to when they were – used more sparingly and or created by hand, the effects were tailored to be a character under themselves in a way that it's hard to do with a pre-recorded sound effect. That you can adjust the performance of a sound effect in much more minute detail when it's just in your hands than what you will typically have time for digitally.
You can manipulate it as you feel.
I mean, the BBC produces great radio drama today. At, like you said, technology. They also have just amazing actors. Like, there's never a off performance in a BBC radio drama these days. But it's all produced by the BBC, and it is very samey. It's of a high quality, but every single one sounds exactly the same. You could never listen to it and recognize that director, that writer. Like, I love the variety, the texture of old time radio.
Exactly. I love how smart you are and you use the word samey.
That's how smart I am.
You've been hanging around me way too long.
They're very similarly.
It's all very samey.
All right. Are you ready for your final question?
Yeah.
Are we ready?
Man. Yeah. And then we're going to be hunted.
Yes. And it's a two-parter. All right. Okay. When you started this podcast, how long did you think it would last? Eric has kind of already answered this. But how long did you think it would last, in all sincerity?
I didn't think anybody would actually listen to it, nor did I care. The idea of this podcast was never to do what's happened. The idea was the three of us wanted to spend time together and talk about old-time radio. And that's a fact. We just thought it would be fun. It was book club, but we recorded it and put it out there just in case. And so I didn't really think of it as a beginning or an end. I didn't think of it as a project on this level until it became something else. You know what I mean? Like, I always thought it would be fun to talk radio, old-time radio with you guys. So I can't really answer it because I never really thought about it ending.
In that way.
Well, I didn't think it would ever come about at all. Our first...
Mr. Optimism.
We recorded our first three episodes and it had a terrible loud buzz. The sound was awful. And I was like,
That was Tim.
Should I not do that?
Well, that was fun. We're not going to do it again. And then we decided, well, let's re-record those first three episodes. I was like, wow, they're okay. We'll record those episodes again. And we did it, and then we just kept doing it. Yeah, I did. I expected us to lose enthusiasm rather quickly. It's just me.
That is totally my answer. I was trying to figure, like, most projects I do, when do I give up? A month, 2 months.
Before I even get out of bed.
I'm shocked that it went like 6 months, let alone 8 years.
I did not expect these questions to be answered like this at all. This is the best.
We promised you brutal honesty.
I know. I love the honesty. You are never going to be asked to do a TED Talk. You know. Here's the thing. I usually quit, and then calendars. I don't know.
First, identify your dreams, then give up.
Well,
hopefully something will happen to you by accident.
Now that
we really developed a sort of three-pronged tripod where each of us feels guilty if we fail the other two.
Yes.
That's so true.
If we fail them too much. And it's a little nebulous, so it's got a little bit of wiggle room.
Well, now that we are just buoyed by these answers. Here's part two. 8 years, 350 episodes, plus those three you redid. How long do you think it will last from here, from this moment on?
I mean, if we can get through next week.
Yeah, these
are you asking me to predict the future?
Yes. That's the second part.
I will do this, and I think you can see, just watching this, there's nothing that would stop me from doing this. Like, it's fun. It's just super fun. And I love these guys a lot. And I love my wife.
Oh. Kidding. I'm kidding.
But
I also love my wife.
Too late. I don't know why.
Well, I did not know this podcast was fueled on the love of your wife.
Me neither.
Point being, I don't see it ending unless something unforeseen would happen. But
unless you suddenly have to stand when you record.
Oh my God! If we ever have to stand while we record, I'm
dumb. Out.
One of those stupid desks that rise with people. No thanks.
Or if we ever decide to record on Super Bowl night, you're out.
It starts in the afternoon, but that's cool.
Okay. I did get a Super Bowl reference in there. Come on.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
We have to keep going through at least 2026 to get through all the adaptations of The Signal Man.
There it is.
Yes.
You are exactly right.
But when we can figure out how AI can duplicate our podcast, then it'll last forever.
Well, this was wonderful to do this with all of you in the audience, to be here to support us. Do you have any last thoughts or words for your fans, for your listeners, your Patreons, your fellow audience members?
The word fans makes me edgy. I like Patreons or...
Okay, Patreons.
Fans is weird. Like, fans, you're not fans.
Strangers who paid money to look at
me. Yeah.
Seems more comfortable.
Seems much more comfortable.
Yes.
Thank you. I think that's the word we're struggling for. Thank you.
Yes, I think...
Yeah, that's our final word. Thank you?
Question mark?
Perfect. 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 No notes. Okay. That was amazing.
Tim, tell them stuff.
Hey, please go to Ghoulish Delights if you have a chance, ghoulishdelights.com. Or if you want to come by our office, hey, what the fun?
We have office hours?
I'm not going to be there.
No, neither will I. But at ghoulishdelights.com, you can find other episodes, you can leave comments, you can vote in polls, you can also find a link to our merchandise if you want to buy like a t-shirt or something, they're awesome, or you can find a link to our Patreon page.
Yes, go to patreon.com/themorals and become a patron of this podcast today. It helps us a lot. We love our patrons. There's so much fun things to do, to hang out with us on Zoom, to listen to more podcasts, to hang out on Discord with us. We have a
Discord channel. Now. It's very fun.
It is very fun. So please go to patreon.com/themorals.
You have sailboat socks.
I know.
Weird. If you'd like to see us performing live, the Mysterious Old Radio Listening Society Theater Company does recreations on stage of classic old-time radio shows and a lot of our own original work. We're performing somewhere almost every month and have been for 8 years. Sometimes.
All the time
we're performing. Go to ghoulishdelights.com to see where we're performing, what we're performing, how to get tickets. And if you're a Patreon, we do record either the audio and or video, and that is part of that package too. So you get to see it that way in case you can't make it. But we perform places like here, the Bryant Lake Bowl Theater, and other and Crooners and other places. And all these places have amazing food. So if you can, come see us. Make it a night, not just for dinner and show, right? What's coming up next?
Next, we are continuing my trilogy of ape-themed shadow episodes with the Night Marauders. Until then...